Now on Sunday Extra, time to talk ruins and our fascination for them. Half-standing monuments, once grand, now crumbling buildings, abandoned places. There's often an eerie beauty to them. It's an area long favoured by artists, poets, writers. In fact, there's a word for it in German, of course, Ruinenlust. An insatiable desire for the relics of devastation and decay. A new exhibition at London's Tate Britain explores ruins in art. Writer and critic Brian Dillon is one of the curators of this extraordinary show, and he joins you now from London via Skype. Brian, welcome. You've published a book on ruins in the 20th century. You're obviously a bit of a fan. What draws you to this area?
A couple of things, I think. I've written a couple of books around the subject and lots of articles and essays, and I think it came from a couple of different directions. The first was that I live in the southeast of England, in Kent, and I live partly surrounded by a lot of ruins from the middle of the 20th century, especially the Second World War. So I'd got kind of quite used to living among modern ruins. And I noticed that around 10 years ago, a lot of artists working in everything from painting through photography, film and video, seemed to be becoming interested in ruins from the 20th century. And I suppose some of that was to do with the legacy of the Cold War. So looking at, you know, Soviet-era architecture. Some of it was to do with the end, I suppose, of a kind of phase of optimistic modernist architecture in the middle of the 20th century. There seemed to be a kind of craze for this among contemporary artists. And I think, oddly, I was expecting it to be a kind of brief thing, but it's persisted, and I think it's actually become a kind of pop cultural thing as well.
Do you think is it a cyclical thing in artistic taste? I mean, a lot in the exhibition at the Tate draws on romantic work in the 18th century, or is it something about our psychology, about, you know, what the ruin tells us about our own impermanence?
There are definitely phases. So, as you say, in the Romantic period, you know, in the 18th century, there is such a craze for ruins that, you know, in this country, for example, great kind of wealthy landowners are building fake ruins on their estate, you know, because it becomes, you know, it's a kind of status symbol. You build a ruin, a fake Greek ruined temple, for example. You might even hire a hermit, you know, or a poet to hang around in that ruin, to add it, give it a certain kind of romantic aura.
Nice work if you can get it.
Well, precisely. People were making ruins out of brick, out of wood. So it becomes actually, so there is this kind of romantic notion of the picturesque and the sublime, a kind of melancholy artistic attachment to ruins. But it quite quickly becomes seen as a cliche, and later writers, including people like Jane Austen, really kind of satirize that. So I think there's a fashion, and I think actually that fashion has, as you suggest, kind of come in waves. Later on, you know, during the First and Second World War, a lot of artists, and some of the artists who were in our exhibition at the Tate, are really unsure whether you can call the destruction that's been wrought by wars ruins, whether that's a kind of dated and nostalgic and kind of sentimental term, but it keeps coming back nonetheless, I think.
There's a difference between a ruin and something which has been ruined, something which has been destroyed rather than slowly degraded.
Well, I think in order to say ruin, in order to call something a ruin, you have to have a kind of distance from it. And one of the great inspirations for our exhibition is a writer called Rose Macaulay, who wrote in just shortly after the Second World War, wrote about the ruins of the Blitz, which lots of people painted, including Graham Sutherland and John Piper, who were in our exhibition. She had lost all her belongings and her home during the Blitz. And she wonders whether this kind of destruction will ever kind of attain the sort of aesthetic kind of richness and distance that ruins have. But I think that's, in a way, what we were interested in putting this exhibition together, is that ruins are always kind of ambiguous. There is that, I suppose, picturesque or melancholy or nostalgic side, but there's also the kind of sense of something raw, a kind of sense of emergency.
In that romantic notion of the ruin, there's something there of a yearning for classicism, I guess. How does that then square off in the modern period? And in the industrial world, the ruin becomes a rather different thing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the classical ruin, I suppose, you know, in the 18th century, the classical ruin is thought of as a sort of warning from history, you know, that that modern society might fall into exactly the kind of ruination that people were discovering or rediscovering, discovering in a different way from the way those things had been looked at during the Renaissance, for example. So classical ruins kind of function as a sort of warning about the future. And that becomes a kind of model then for representing the contemporary world. So, for example, the French painter Hubert Robert, who was known as Robert des Ruines at the end of the 18th century, painted, for example, these kind of fantasias in which he would depict the Louvre, for example, in ruins at some point in the future. The designer, the architect of the Bank of England, John Soane, commissioned in 1830, around the time that the bank complex was completed, he commissioned the painter Joseph Gandy to paint the Bank of England as it would appear about 1,000 years into the future as a picturesque ruin. So there is this strange moment there, and I think that kind of comes back as well, where the classical ruin and a sense of a kind of possible emergency or the sense of looming apocalypse in the present, that those two things kind of collide.
Brian Dillon, a writer and critic and curator of a new exhibition at London's Tate Britain titled Ruin Lust. That last word, Brian, ruin, I can get the lust aspect of this. Explain that thought to me.
Well, we got the term via Rose Macaulay, and she uses it to translate a German term, ruin and lust. And lust in German is a little different from the English word.
Reassuring.
A kind of more of an attraction. But I suppose I really liked the term because it seemed like a really good alternative to a phrase that people have begun to use a lot recently, which is ruin porn. And that's a phrase that gets used, for example, about the kinds of photographs that that have been reproduced widely in the last few years of the ruins of Detroit, for example. And there's a real kind of craze at the moment for, especially online, photographs of ruined buildings. And this term, ruin porn, has kind of got attached to that. But it seems to me it's pretty simplistic. You know, porn kind of wants one reaction, right? Mm. I quite liked the idea, or kind of wanted to get across the idea, that actually when we look at those images, the photographs, now famous photographs of, you know, dilapidated factories and theatres and municipal buildings in a place like Detroit, we're not only looking at them with a sense of kind of regret or mourning or horror. There's also all kinds of other mixed up emotions that have to do as well with our own, the place we might live ourselves, the kind of future that our own cities might have, and a weird kind of sense of optimism, actually, of excitement. Mm. There's something thrilling about ruins.
You look at that image of the abandoned place and you can sort of sense its original aspiration, can't you? You can, the dreams that the people that constructed it might have had.
Yeah, ruins are always, it seems to me, always about the future as well as the past. And I think a lot of the artists in our exhibition, people like Tacita Dean and Gerard Byrne, have really responded to this idea that what ruins embody is a kind of sense of an unfinished future, that they give us a future that might have been, or a glimpse of what that future might have been, of something that hasn't come to pass. And that's really interesting, I think, because ruins also seem like places where some kind of future might possibly be made. I mean, I think there are reasons why, you know, the kinds of urban ruins that we might see in our daily lives, or places on the edges of cities, are actually sites that get occupied. You know, they're not entirely abandoned, but they get occupied typically by, for example, teenagers. You know, they're places that are used. They're places that somehow are outside of the everyday architecture or everyday urban environment. where something unpredictable might happen. It might not always be something attractive or something that we want as part of our cities or part of our rural landscape, but there's a sense of possibility, I think.
One of the most striking series of things in your exhibition is those pictures of the Nazi fortifications on the Atlantic coast. And forgive me for forgetting the name of the writer who goes into these and is all about the... it's Ballard, indeed. The traces of occupation within those buildings, the small mounds of ancient excrement, for example.
Those are extraordinary structures built, as you say, by the Nazis during the Second World War on the Atlantic coast. And they are really, they can't be destroyed. I mean, they can't be demolished. They're really solid, massive, terrifying lumps of reinforced concrete. And J.G. Ballard wrote about them in some of his science fiction stories in the 60s, and then they were rediscovered by a French urban theorist called Paul Virilio in the mid-70s, who wrote about them as somehow a kind of strange meeting point between a kind of prehistoric civilization. They seemed to come from the past, but they seemed to have a kind of sci-fi look about them as well. But he also talks about them in relation to post-war architecture, especially brutalist architecture, which actually, you know, there's a strong kind of argument to say that they inspired a lot of architects in the 50s and 60s. And I suppose that's what I am really attracted to, and what a lot of the artists in our show are attracted to, is the idea that ruins actually kind of bring together a lot of competing feelings and ideas, that they might be a kind of emanation of, you know, some of the worst atrocities and violence of the 20th century. But then they hang around and we have to make something of them.
It's a very rich area. Brian, thank you for sharing this morning.
Thanks very much.
Brian Dillon, he's a writer and critic, a curator of this new exhibition at London's Tate Britain, Ruin Lust. It's there if you're passing until May 18.